Good morning, and welcome to Berentzen-Gruppe AG's telephone conference on the occasion of the publication of the half year 2020 financial report. Today's conference is hosted by CEO Oliver Schwegmann and CFO Ralf Brühöfner. They will also be available during the Q&A session. My name is Annika, and I will be your coordinator for today's conference. For the duration of the call, your lines will be on listen only. However, at the end of the call, you will have the opportunity to ask questions. If at any time you need assistance, please press star zero on your telephone keypad and you'll be connected to an operator. I am now handing you over to Oliver Schwegmann to begin today's conference. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Dear ladies and gentlemen, this is Oliver Schwegmann, the CEO of the Berentzen Group speaking. Together with my colleague and CFO, Ralf Brühöfner, we are the executive board of the Berentzen Group and would like to welcome all of you to our half year 2020 results call. We hope that all of you received the presentation by email in advance so that everybody can follow the charts we are referring to. As usual, after our presentation, you will have the opportunity to ask your questions. First of all, we trust that all of you and your beloved ones are still healthy and that everybody is taking good care of themselves and their families. We do also hope that all of you manage to navigate through the current and ongoing crisis with no major setbacks, both personally and professionally. Please allow me to say a few words ahead of the presentation, as we are all still facing very challenging and volatile times with regard to the COVID-19 crisis. Unfortunately, this crisis will not be over soon. We need to learn and adapt to live with these challenging circumstances for the whole year 2020, and most definitely, even significantly beyond. As I said during our virtual annual general meeting on July 2nd, the earliest we can expect our markets to recover to pre-pandemic levels will be the time when an effective vaccine has been invented and globally distributed. For many other industries, such as fashion, cars, gastronomy, touristic, airlines, and many more, the outlook by experts is even much worse than that, as they expect full recovery to pre-pandemic levels to take many years, even beyond 2024. However, with the people learning more and more to cope with this new reality and to accept the new behavior rules, we might see slow but steady economic recovery in the Berentzen Group's business environment. Having said that, we are nevertheless currently looking with serious concern at the latest development with an increasing number of new infections, mainly because of a growing amount of people ignoring the important behavior rules and because of the significant number of people traveling internationally for vacation. Therefore, at this very moment, we might be even closer to the second wave rather than to a return to normality. The whole Berentzen Group, as much as we as the executive board, are still taking good care of our people, our company, our business, and our clients. We continue to do our utmost to protect our stakeholders and to adapt ourselves in the best possible way to the current times and the challenging months ahead of us. The COVID-19 crisis is a radical test. We, as the Berentzen Group, have passed this test robustly up to now. Our efforts, our focus, and our complex crisis management in place have been quite successful, which I would like to highlight with three major achievements. Number one, since the start of the pandemic, we only had one single reported infection case in the whole Berentzen Group. A sales manager subsidiary at Berentzen Turkey. He has fully recovered already and enjoys excellent health again. Number two, even if our business surely suffered from the pandemic and its consequences for the economy, the Berentzen Group delivered a profitable first half of the year, even with a lockdown quarter two, delivering positive results and adding 1 million euro EBIT. Number three, our robust crisis management, as well as our detailed scenario business planning, gave us the confidence to publish a new forecast for the full financial year 2020, much earlier than many other companies. However, we feel obliged and prepared to give you orientation at this early stage to manage your expectations. Now let us together take a look together at slide three of our presentation, which highlights five key messages that should give you the trust and confidence that the Berentzen Group, despite the current crisis and the elementary challenges, is in a solid shape to successfully navigate its business through the rough times ahead and to return to its long-term growth strategy soon. Number one, we are a broadly positioned beverage company with a diversified segment, product, customer, and channel portfolio. Therefore, risk diversification is in the nature of our crisis-resistant business model. Number two, in our full year 2019 results call, as much as during our virtual annual general meeting, we informed you about our significant and diverse countermeasures, mainly with regards to strict cost management and investment constraints to protect our cash. Number three, the Berentzen Group has a high financial stability driven by sufficient liquidity and as well a well-equipped credit lines. Number four, in expectations of our robust crisis management and a profitable bottom line for 2020, we were able to pay a stable dividend for 2019. And number five, with the majority of our business taking place in the German retail mass market, we expect a slow but steady recovery of consumption and sales. Now let's switch to page four to have a look at our H1 2020 results in a nutshell. The group's revenues were down to 73.5 million euro, a turnover of -7.2%. I will come to a more detailed look at the performance of our different business segments later, but you can already see that the negative impact of COVID-19 hit our segments to different extents. Whereas spirits, mainly driven by the very positive development of the premiumized private label products, even achieved a slight turnover growth of 0.5%, non-alcoholic beverages and fresh juice systems showed a negative double-digit decline. Non-alcoholic beverages were down by 10.1%, mainly driven by a strongly negative development of our concession business with a third-party brand. In contrary, our own alcoholic beverage brands in total even achieved a turnover growth. The fresh juice system segment, with its juices being a B2B capital good, other than our beverage being fast-moving consumer goods, suffered the most from the COVID-19 effects as our customers and distributors avoided major investments to secure their cash position. This segment declined by -25.1%, mainly driven by the juicer's sales. As I stated before, despite tough circumstances, we managed to achieve a positive EBIT at 2.1 million euro, with each of the first two quarters delivering positive results. However, compared to the last year's first half, EBIT was down by 2.9 million euro. Main driver behind this figure was a shortage of 4.3 million euro in gross profit, which derived from both a turnover decline as much as a negative portfolio and channel mix. Our strict countermeasures, in particular and mainly cost management in marketing and personnel, delivered positive cost effects of 1.5 million euro, which lowered the absolute gap in EBIT versus gross profit. Ladies and gentlemen, I will now hand over to my colleague Ralf Prüfner, who will point out further financial highlights and information. Ralf, please continue.
Thank you, Oliver. We know that in crisis times, the financing situation of a company has more relevance than in, let me say, normal days. Considering this, I am pleased to inform you that Berentzen is in a solid financial situation with regard to financial debt capacity, and equity. Having said that, the equity ratio increased in comparison to years end 2019 from 32.4% to 36.3%. This increase is mainly related to a lower total of assets and liabilities. A smaller balance sheet is quite normal in the middle of the year, as the alcohol tax liability and so far the working capital is approximately 10 million less than at year's end. With regard to the overall financial debt situation, we are in the comfortable position to have no financial net debts on the balance sheet as per end of June 2020. In addition to that, I would like to recall that we increased our debt capacities by €12 million during 2019. This was done pre-Corona with the aim to have a more comfortable safety buffer for whatever cases. Therefore, we are convinced to be financed with sufficient debt capacities for this ongoing outstanding year and even for the periods after. As of July 2020, we released a new business outlook for the financial year 2020. Herein, we confirmed our expectation that the year will end with a positive result. The EBIT will be in a range of €4 million to €6 million after €9.8 million in the previous year. I will explain the main financials and the assumption of this forecast in the course of this call. Now let's please turn to slide 5 of the presentation and have a look on the half year 2020 earnings development. The result numbers were already pointed out. EBIT was positive but down to €2.1 million after €5.0 million in 6 months 2019. EBITDA was €6.4 million after €9.4 million. Therefore, I would like to focus on three important facts which influenced these key figures. The main driver of the lower result was the decrease of revenues by €5.8 million. This and the disadvantages product and segment mix lead to a lower gross profit to €4.3 million, which Oliver already mentioned. The mix effects result in a lower relative gross margin, and for this time since 2018 it went down instead of going up. This for the first time. The comments on the slide concerning the details of the revenues decline may give you a hint to the influence factors. Those products and segments with relatively high gross margin suffered the most from COVID. That is the business segment non-alcoholic beverages, the fresh juice segment, and here especially the juices, which sales were down by approximately 40%, and last but not least, the branded spirits business. In contradiction to that, the private label business, which is characterized by basically lower gross margins, performed very well with a turnover plus 9.5%. Although the private label spirits business therefore compensated a lot, it of course cannot equalize all the other effects which I just mentioned. We traditionally have a very cost-disciplined organization, but since Corona, we speeded up our efforts. At least, and due to cuts at personnel, marketing, and a lot of other cost items, we were able to absorb and cushion the negative gross profit effects by an amount which sums up to €1.4 million. At the end of the first quarter, we already booked a one-off result due to impairment losses in the business segment non-alcoholic beverages. The triggering event for this was the, at least by the numbers of the second quarter, confirmed assumption that the segment will have severe impacts of COVID because of their relatively high share of gastro and hotel business. The information we got later about the stop of a third-party service filling contract was an additional new triggering event, but the impairment test shows no need for another impairment based on the information we had.
Thank you, Ralf. Generally, COVID-19 drives a very diverse and contrary picture when it comes to sales development, not only for beverages, but overall. First, and this is no surprise, the business in the so-called on-trade channels like hotels, restaurants, bars, and so on is heavily affected and largely down. On the other side, the so-called off-trade channels, which is mainly the food retailers, are up and even called a crisis winner. This is because a lot of consumption shifted from restaurants, from bars, from canteens to in-home usage. People didn't go out, children didn't go to school, employees worked from home. Besides this strong channel shift, there was a substantial product segment shift. Especially in the alcohol and spirits business, those shifts were essential as people at home alone or with a small group of family members or friends do have different consumption patterns than in big groups and at big events and celebrations. Therefore, beverages like, for example, wine, rum, or gin tonic show a strong uplift as they are suitable drinks for in-home usage, whereas sparkling wine and champagne or shots like liqueur, tequila, or ouzo suffered disproportionately. Last but not least, consumers also start to take more care of their financial budget. which is a usual reaction in times of uncertainty. Therefore, value for money becomes a big driver behind purchase decisions, even though consumers are not willing to compromise on quality. Those major trends and consumption shifts are also reflected in our results and segment development. As stated earlier, the Berentzen Group was able to increase the spirits revenues by 0.5%, however, with very different dynamics within the portfolio. Whereas the volume of our branded business was down significantly at minus 9.6% in Germany and minus 29.1% in export, our private label business outperformed the market at plus 8.4%. As you can see in the table at the bottom left, our core brand Berentzen declined by minus 12.8%. Berentzen as well as Puschkin are mainly brands which stand for celebrating in big groups and at big events and parties. As those occasions have been locked down and are still very restricted and limited, our core brands have been suffering disproportionately. However, even if liqueurs and so-called fun spirits suffer significantly from COVID-19, the unsatisfactory development of our core brands, Berentzen in particular, and also Puschkin, was not driven by the strategically important liqueur portfolio, but by the clear spirits portfolio, which for Berentzen is the so-called corn at minus 37.7%, and for Puschkin, the vodka at minus 8.9%. Despite an ongoing lockdown of all kinds of festivals, celebrations, and big private parties, therefore, the missing of main usage occasions for our core brands Berentzen liqueurs only declined by minus 1.5%, and Puschkin liqueurs even achieved a strong double-digit growth at plus 17.3%. This was thanks to strong innovations in the liqueur portfolio of both brands, like our Berentzen summer creamers or Puschkin blueberry, as well as to the strong performance in the retail channel. If we only look at the sell-out performance in the retail channel, so excluding the on-trade channels with gastronomy, bars, festivals, and so on, Berentzen liqueurs grew by 1.4% in volume, and Puschkin liqueurs even at plus 89.8% based on the market data by RII. That means, in the important retail channel, our strategic liqueur portfolio of our core brands Berentzen and Puschkin could win market share from 7.1% up to 8% in the first half of the year 2020. I'm also very delighted to see our private label business showing a great development, both in performance and strategy. For more than 2 years, we are consequently transforming our private label business and portfolio towards premiumization and trading up. COVID-19, in this case, worked as a strong tailwind. A shift towards retail, a shift towards premium spirits suitable for in-home usage, and a shift towards products which deliver value for money. Those are exactly the concept ingredients for our many innovations and launches in this segment. Therefore, premium private label products achieved an impressive growth at plus 58.3% with products like gin, rum, and whiskey in the first 6 months of 2020. Now let's please switch to slide 7 showing the performance of our non-alcoholic beverages. As stated at the beginning of the conference call, already, this segment suffered significantly from the lockdown of restaurants, pubs, and events, and closed the first 6 months of the year with a turnover decline of minus 10.1%. Main driver behind this development was the performance of the concession brand Sinalco, as we are distributing these products predominantly in the so-called on-trade business, meaning restaurants, hotels, bars, leisure parks, and so on. Also, part of our own branded business are distributed into those channels which often have higher price structures than the classic retail business. Therefore, the revenue decline of 10.1% is disproportionate to the volume decline of 7.5% due to the portfolio and channel mix effect. However, if we only look at our own brands and products, we achieved a slight volume growth of about 0.7% and an even stronger revenue growth of 4.5%. I'm very delighted that, again, Miu Miu was the main driver behind our growth with a strong development of plus 16%. Even though Miu Miu also suffered from COVID-19 effects due to the closing of universities and due to the restricted urban and mobile life with negative impact for the on-the-go sales, especially in kiosks, we again achieved a double-digit growth on top of an already high 2019 level. Additionally, our other own lemonade brands achieved a growth of plus 11.2% and, like Miu Miu, also outperformed the non-alcoholic beverage market. Only our own water brands showed a slight volume decline of 3.1%. However, they still performed better than the total water market, which finished the first half of 2020 at minus 3.6%. This was mainly driven by the shutdown of the on-trade business, as well as the weather effects of the much colder summer months, especially in our home territory of northern Germany. On slide 8, you will see the performance overview of our fresh juice systems. This is by far the heaviest hit business segment, with a turnover decline of minus 25.1%, disproportionately driven by the volume decline of machine sales at minus 41.9%. Even though it is our strong belief and conviction that Citrocasa, in the medium and long-term perspective, will benefit from Corona as an accelerator of changing consumer preferences towards more healthiness, freshness and quality, this business suffered short-termly the most. This is clearly related to the short-term reaction of clients and consumers towards the pandemic consequences. Clients like retailers, hotels, cafes, and even international distribution partners stopped ordering juicers to back up and secure their cash positions. It was and is simply not the time to invest into technical equipment when the business needs to be run in survival modus. On the other hand, even the consumers reacted with abstinence from consumption because of strict hygiene rules and the risk of infection by touching our juicers when tapping an orange juice. This also led to a double-digit volume decline of oranges at minus 14.9% and bottles at minus 20.2%, which are almost only marketed in the DACH region. Therefore, the Citrocasa market, which belonged to the most mature ones in terms of market penetration, suffered disproportionately strong, such as the DACH region as well as France. Other markets and regions, which prospectively have strong growth potential but are still at an early penetration stage, could even achieve growth in the first half of 2020, despite the temporary lockdown such as UK or Eastern Europe with a strong deals in Russia. Even if we believe that our fresh juice systems will potentially need the longest period to fully recover from the COVID-19 consequences, especially in the mature markets, we nevertheless see opportunities to quickly regain or add business through new markets and new regions which had no or little contribution in the past. Those first signs of recovery could already be observed during the months of June and July. With these insights and detailed information about our different segment performances, I would like to hand over to my colleague Ralf again, who will give you further information and background regarding our financial structure as well as our new 2020 financial forecast.
Yeah, thank you, Oliver. For this purpose, please let us have a look at slide 10 of the presentation. At the end of June 20, Berentzen basically kept its solid financial structure, which enables us to finance our future capital needs even in this nobody-expected challenging times. The decline of our total assets by approximately 17.6 million to 134 million euro compared to years end 2019 was based on the typical seasonal patterns of our position of alcohol tax liabilities because of an always relatively strong years end business. The alcohol tax liabilities are 10 million euro less than at year's end. At least, and you don't see it here, the balance sheet total is very exactly what it was at half year 2019. The equity ratio increased from 32.4% to 36.3%. This increase is mainly related to the just mentioned lower total of assets and liabilities, whereas the equity was reduced because of negative so-called other comprehensive income on the one hand and favored by the later payment of dividends on the other hand. As per year's end, and despite the higher level working capital because of lower alcohol tax liabilities, we again have a net cash instead of a net financial debt position. Gross cash was about 11.8 million, long and short-term financial debts amounted to 9.8 million euros, so that at least cash overbalanced the financial debts by 2 million euro. The operating cash flow was positive. The number is 3.2 million euro after 5.9 million euro in the first 6 months of the previous year. In a like-for-like comparison, the decrease was impacted by higher payments for income taxes on the one hand and a lower EBITDA on the other hand. Berentzen continues to show a very good debt service ability, illustrated by the dynamic gearing ratio, which is around zero. That was a short and brief view on the financial debts and cash flows of the Berentzen Group. I hope that the members, that the numbers and explanations gives you an impression and good understanding about how solid the financial structure of Berentzen actually is and still will be based on our earnings expectations for the rest of the year, which is shown on the following page, slide 10. Even if it's quite more than challenging to give a binding forecast for the rest of year 2020, we decided to do so and release the one of our internal scenarios which we trust the most as a new forecast. We hope that you appreciate our efforts to keep you well informed despite the numerous uncertainties we are confronted with. The key financial figures of the new forecast are as follows. Revenues will be between 153 and 160 million euros. That means we expect to have a minus between 8.6% and 4.4% in comparison with last year. As per June 20, the minus is by 7.2%. The non-alcoholic beverages and the fresh juice system segments are primarily responsible for the declining trend 2020. For the consolidated EBITDA, we anticipate a range of 13 to 15 million euros, which represents a smaller decline than what we expect for the adjusted EBIT. This is due to the expected slight increase in depreciation and amortization. The adjusted EBIT will remain clearly positive. We expect a result in a range of 4 to 6 million euro, and from the perspective of June 2020, it means that we have to add an additional result of 1.9 million at the minimum and 3.9 million at the maximum on the half year's EBIT of 2.1 million euro. However, the result will be significantly less than in 2019 and originally expected for 2020. But at least we will be profitable even in this outstanding worldwide crisis year and will not be knocked out like many other companies, also within the beverage industry, with a more severe punch from COVID-19. To put our financial outlook 2020 concisely, I would summarize it as follows. On the basis of the decline in business volume and the less favorable product and segment mix, we forecast a significant reduction in gross profit, which cannot be fully compensated for by saving costs on costs such as personnel and marketing costs. The basic assumptions on which the forecast is built are described in detail on page 20 of our half-year financial report. Therefore, please let me give you the most important aspects only in a nutshell. First, concerning the spirits business, we will continue to benefit from the increased focus on premium products in the private label business, but simultaneously suffer from the pressure on our branded business. As the volume of business traditionally tends to increase at the end of the year, the segment gross profit is expected to be higher in the last half year of 2020 than in the first half, but of course will still below the level of the previous year. As a countermeasure, spending on marketing will be reduced considerably compared with 2019. Under consideration of that, the segment earnings 2020 will continue to be lower than in 2019. As per June 2020, the segment earnings were already 0.7 million less than in 2019 half year. For the non-alcoholic beverages segment, we expect to achieve segment earnings in a range between 22 and 24 million, and it was 23.5 million last year, and as per June 2020, with a minus of 0.4 million. We forecast a slight recovery for products sold in the on-trade channel in the second half of 2020. In addition, the volume of business from the Mio Mio product line is expected to grow further and thus have a positive impact on the success of the segment. As part of the group-wide countermeasures taken, spending on marketing and trade advertising in the non-alcoholic beverages segment will be significantly lower than the previous year level. Third, based on the year-to-date development of the fresh juice segment's earnings, which are 1.7 million euro lower than in 6 months 2019, we expect a slight improving dynamic in the remaining months of 2020, and the marketing budget will be half of the segment spendings of last year. Therefore, we anticipate segment earnings ranging from 4.5 million to 5 million after we had 6.9 million in the last year. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to my explanations on forecasts and financials. If you would like to discuss some issues more personally, we invite you to meet virtually at one of the coming equity conferences. They are displayed on page 12.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, we are at the end of our presentation and now happy to receive your questions.
If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you change your mind and wish to withdraw your question, please press star 2. You will be advised when to ask your question. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. There are no questions at this time. If you do have any questions later, oh, we have just gotten a question through, so we will take that. It's coming from the line of Tom Dietrich from Metzler. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, gentlemen. Hi. Just one question on the fresh juice system segment. So can you give some feedback from your customers so far? So I think many of them canceled their orders. So are they postponing their orders maybe into the second half of the year? And also what do you expect in terms of growth rates for the segment as a whole in the second half of the year? So you already mentioned a slight recovery, and I think in many, most regions, most restaurants and hotels are opened again. So what do you expect for the second half of the year for the segment? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for the question. First of all, as I stated in my presentation, is that we already see in the summer months a slight recovery in orders. You're right, many orders have been cancelled, and they have not been postponed to a certain time in future, because first of all, our clients, our customers, the restaurants, the hotels, they need to figure out where they stand and how they will be able to navigate through the crisis, and how their financial situation and their business situation looks after the situation, which, again, to mention clearly, is not over yet. It's probably even the opposite, that it's going to be postponed or let's say continued as even worse than when we saw it in the last probably 8 weeks. We see still a slight recovery, as I said, in orders of machines, but often these orders come from new regions where people are just starting. So where the comparison period of last year is at a very low level, so we are able in certain new regions to uplift the volumes, but still in our main markets, as I pointed out, in DACH region, France, etc., the volume is still very much down, and we do not expect the volumes of the second half to reach the level of the previous year. So I can only say what I said before in the presentation. There is a slight recovery we see during the last weeks. The situation is still not very clear, because it is very tough to forecast, because very often you depend on one-time orders and one-time deals. So that's why there is no very organic and regular forecast process possible. But the overall mood of retailers and of distributors to start kicking off the business again is there. We get clear signals.
Okay, thank you very much. So it's fair to assume still very negative growth rates for the second half of the year, but maybe not as negative as we saw it in H1, right?
Yeah, okay. Exactly. You.
And maybe one further question, also related to yeah, more strategic question. I mean, you started your strategic initiative some years ago. So how are you progressing with regard to that? Also with regard to maybe new products? I think it's fair to assume that it's very difficult times today to introduce new products at the moment. So retailers might be sticking to the old, let's say, more best-selling product, but how are you progressing with that? Also with regard to the development of your sales of Kräuter Braut, maybe also a comment on that would be appreciated. Thank you.
Now, first of all, as I said before, innovations and new products have been very important even in crisis times. I pointed out that the further conquer of Miu Miu takes place with a double-digit growth. I referred to our diverse launches in the strategic liquor portfolio, which even gave us a growth in the market for our liquor products for the core brands Berentzen and Pushkin, which is also strongly related to new launches we had, like the summer creamers, like a mini format of Pushkin, like a blueberry. So we are still continuing to launch products and to place innovations, which helped us in the first half of the year. Also, when it comes to the overall strategy, we have been, let's say, very much confirmed on our strategy. Because number one, we are a very strong partner of the retailers, and the retailers showed a quite strong performance generally. So the majority of our business is taking place in the German retail, which showed a strong performance generally. Also, and this I mentioned in the presentation, was the strategy of private label to really focus on premiumization and customization of our premium concepts in private label, which was really a big success in the first 6 months with a high double-digit growth of almost 60%. Of course, and this is when you refer to the distribution of innovations. Let's say to the distribution upbuild of Miu, the further distribution upbuild of Miu Miu in the south, the distribution upbuild of Kräuter Braut in Germany. Of course, the speed of the distribution upbuild got a hit because at that times we had short work for our sales team, the retailers they didn't want our people to visit them and to have let's say conversations about launches. So of course that was a little bit stuck for a certain period of time. But at that, for the time being, we see a quite back to normal when it comes to servicing the retailers in Germany. So we do think that we will pick up speed again in the distribution upbuild.
Very helpful. Thank you.
Welcome.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. There are no further questions at this time. If you do have any questions later, please contact Berentzen Gruppe's investor relations team at any time. Thank you for joining today's conference call. I will now close the conference.